When gold was first discovered in Australia in the late 1840s, a sample was brought to Governor Gipps in Sydney. Viewing the gleaming nugget, word has it that the governor said,
"For God's sake, put it away, or we'll all have our throats cut."
Well, if not blood on his shirt, his world was about to be turned upside down, for if there was gold in the land, anyone, even a scumbag ex-convict or a mere labourer, could get rich. So the British government dictated that all Australian gold was now royal gold and belonged to the Crown. But when word got out, nothing could contain the epidemic of yellow fever.
Men meet together, stare stupidly at each other, talk incoherent nonsense and wonder what will happen next. Everybody has 100 times seen 100 weight of flour, 100 weight of sugar or potatoes as an everyday fact, but 100 weight of gold is a phrase scarcely known in the English language. It is beyond the range of ordinary ideas.
And in 1852, the world's greatest gold rush was here at Castlemaine. It lasted as long as World War I, and then the rush was over. But the gold from here helped change the world. Hello, and welcome to the pod tour of the Castlemaine Diggings National Heritage Park. I'm Jan Wasitski, your guide to the sites and the relics from when these diggings were the world's number one destination. You'll also hear the Jara stories from the local Indigenous people that go back at least 7,000 years to the volcanoes. But before we go, some information for the road. Now, you should have a map of where you're going to go. And if you haven't, pop into the Castlemaine Information Centre, or you can also get one downloading it off the internet from the same site where you got this pod tour. On the map, you'll see that this diggings tour is divided into three sections. They're called The Rush, which is the main gold rush story, The Characters, where you meet the men and women who came here, the civilised and otherwise, and the third section's called New Gold Mountain, and that's got the story of the Chinese and of the Indigenous Jara people. The tour is designed to do all three sections together. It ties in one big story, but you can do just one or two if you wish. Each section takes about an hour, and the finer practical details, where to go, which stops for each section, they're all on your map. The full circle is about 32 kilometres with 16 stops following the Route 41 signs. By car, it's at least a 3-hour trip, but of course you can take as long as you like, and you don't need a four-wheel drive. You can also do it by bicycle, and for that, you should take a cut lunch. You can pause, rewind or fast forward any time you like. The directions to each stop are at the beginning of the track for that stop. In other words, the directions to stop 2 are at the start of track 2, and so on. And if you can listen safely in your vehicle, you may like to drive on as you listen to some stories, rather than stay at a particular site. So to begin the tour, you should now be at the Castlemaine Information Centre, which is the old market building in Mostyn Street. But before you move off from the market building, take a seat or have a stroll around, and we'll go back to the time before the gold rush. This song is Japanai, a Jara song of welcome, sung here by senior Jara man Ricky Nelson. This is Jara country, and the Jara name for gold is Karakara. But Karakara was of no use to the Jara. It was too soft for tools and too heavy to carry, so they left it lying underfoot. Then in the late 1830s, when the Jara land was taken by pastoralists, some Jara worked on the farms. Sometimes they showed the white landowners where to find the gold, the Karakara. Here's Rick's father, Jara elder Brian Nelson. We talked out bush, and the sound you can hear is rain.
It's in the history books where early farmer up near St. Arnold somewhere wanted an Aboriginal, young Aboriginal, to take him out and show him good grazing country. And he said, yes, I'll show you. Follow me. So they walked and walked quite a few miles and went over a region. He's a beautiful flat, grass up to your knees. And he said, this is good grazing country for you. And he said, yes, it is. And he said, come here and we'll look north. And they did, but there was two birds fighting on the ground. So the Aboriginal bent down, picked up a rock and threw it at the birds to make them stop fighting. And as it sailed through the air, non-Aboriginal person seen, looked up and seen it and nearly had a heart attack. It was a lump of gold. He said nothing. He come back weeks later, picked up the nugget and went and cashed it in.
But the farmers kept it quiet. Victoria was in the possession of around 1,000 landlords, and the last thing they wanted was a horde of rabid gold diggers invading their mighty estates. These landowners were also the only people who could vote, so the new Victorian government agreed there was no gold in Victoria. But in May 1851, gold was discovered in New South Wales. At the news, yellow fever spread across the land and an exodus of Victorians began. The Victorian governor, Charles La Trobe, faced financial ruin. So to staunch the flow of people leaving for New South Wales, La Trobe declared a reward of £200 for the discovery of gold in Victoria. It was soon a case of be careful what you wish for or you just might get it. Gold was soon officially discovered at Buninyong and Ballarat, but these were short-lived rushes. Then in July 1851, shepherds on William Barker's pastoral run found gold in the creek at a place now named Specimen Gully, close to where Castlemaine Township now stands. When the shepherds showed their gold in the men's quarters, they were ridiculed for finding fool's gold, so they promptly threw it away. The pastoralist Barker didn't want the shepherds abandoning his sheep, but in August the shepherds did exactly that, and they continued panning Specimen Gully. When Barker ran them off for trespass, one of the shepherds wrote to the Melbourne newspaper, The Argus.
Dear Sir, I wish to publish these few lines, that the public may know that there is gold found in these ranges, about 4 miles from Dr. Barker's home station, and about a mile from the Melbourne Road, at the southernmost point of Mount Alexander, where three men and myself are working. John Worley, 1st of September, 1851.
The Argus published, and the rest, as they say, is history. And if you came here, people were told, and greased your boots and walked around, the gold would simply stick to your feet. You could be Midas in a day. And with this news, farmhands promptly walked off the land. In Melbourne, sailors jumped ship. Clerks, vagabonds, shop assistants and policemen left their employment and headed for the gold fields. Suddenly, there were only two policemen left in Melbourne. The landlords and the government had lost control. Governor Latrobe couldn't even find a labourer to chop his wood.
One would be disposed to regard the discovery of these great mineral treasures in other light than a blessing.
The goldfield was known as Mount Alexander and later Forest Creek. It was the greatest alluvial goldfield the world has ever seen. Even a child could find gold, and some of those children are now cradled in the earth at our next stop, the Pennywhite Flat Cemetery. The directions to stop to are at the beginning of Track 2.